You know, Dub CNN is back in the building with the big boss dog, Snoop Dogg, you know, to chop it up about his new album, The Blue Carpet Treatment, you know, as well as everything else that's been going on with you since we hooked up this summer, you know. So tell me what's going on with you right now, dog.
Oh, man, just getting ready for this American Music Awards performance tonight with my man Akon. So we're going to knock that down since the record is out, get a nice little visibility look on ABC so the whole world can know what's out there. And then once I do that, I'm going to go and get back on the football field because my teammates are in Super Bowl. So
okay.
Coach them to that next win and then call the season a wrap. And once we do that, then I'll be able to go on tour and do the old Snoop Dogg thing.
That's right. You know, the last interview we did together, you know, the four-part interview, that made a lot of noise, you know. Did you hear anything about that? Did you get any feedback off that?
Yeah, I heard a lot of, you know, good feedback. You know, I heard a little bit of negativity, but it wasn't ever, like, to a point to where it was like it was going to cause some friction or some, you know, something to happen. It was just, you know, everybody had their, you know, opinions and views on what was said, how it was said, which was understandable, but I wasn't trying to promote nothing but, you know, peace, not nothing negative.
Okay, you know, I guess the main thing was the whole Crooked Eye thing. Have you had a chance, you know, to talk to him since then and put the thing to the side?
No. I ain't been able to talk to him because I don't got no bad line on him, and he ain't got no bad line on me, and I've been just, you know, doing my thought thing right now. I ain't really tripping off it.
Okay.
None of that kind of shit, even though I ain't tripping with him, you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for him because I ain't looking for him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you know we.
Right.
And you know, we recently premiered your track, No Backtracking. You know, we were supposed to be on The Last Meal. Meech Wells hooked that up and, you know, good quality for us. Did you hear that track lately?
No, I ain't heard it yet. I don't know. But I heard it when I did it. I know it was dope when I made it.
How the hell didn't that make the album, man?
Be like that. Every record I put out, certain songs don't make the record because conceptually it's whatever the record is about. You know what I'm saying? I got to think about what am I going for when I'm making the record, the whole record. You know what I'm saying? I ain't thinking about one song. I'm thinking about the concept of the whole album. You understand what I'm saying?
So you think No Backtracking didn't fit the concept?
Apparently it didn't at the time that we was, you know.
Okay.
I can't think back to, you know what I'm saying, to when, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I used that train of thought.
Okay. But, you know, let's get to the new album, man. You know, you're dropping on the same day as Jay-Z, which is today, and, you know, a week away from Game and Akon. Do you think that's kind of going to lower sales, or, you know, having all the heavy hitters come together?
Man, I don't have to really focus on who out there, you know. Let me focus on me. You understand what I'm saying? I can't really watch them and say, well, you know, this going to happen or that's going to happen. I ain't tripping like that. If the shit is good, motherfuckers is going to get it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I say, because it's McDonald's, Jack in the Box, In-N-Out, Burger King. All the motherfuckers is making money. Like, nigga, you want the Big Mac? Exactly. You want the motherfucking Big Mac, the Whopper, or the Double Double?
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your new book, Love Don't Live Here Anymore.
That's a book that I did thanks to a relationship with a son and a mother, you know, being torn between, you know, the mother having to choose between her boyfriend and her son. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the type of scenario that goes, scenario that happens a lot in the neighborhood, so I wanted to address it. But it happened, you know what I'm saying, to somebody close to me, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to speak on it. And that's why I did the book, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. And what about that movie you got? Is that like Bones Part 2?
Which one?
The Hood of Horror?
Oh, no, it ain't nothing like that. That's completely different. That's like on some, you know, Tales from the Hood kind of shit. And Bones was more conceptually about a, you know, a player that got wrongfully done and came back to get some revenge. This ain't nothing like that. It's completely different, but it was for the Halloween season. I enjoyed doing it.
Okay. And, you know, man, when I listened to the new record, you know, I had the feeling that something woke you up, like a fresh breath of air in your voice, your tone, your energy, something, I don't know, something about the way you rap on the record sounds like you had some kind of motivation when you were doing it, like that pushed you to really push you to the limit on this one. Is that right?
I just think it was just, you know how, you know how like when you know you're good, and then sometimes people don't really give you that nudge. Just like I watch a lot of TV a lot of times, and I watch like they always had the top 25 MCs, and the baddest rappers of all time, and the hardest lyrics and whatnot. And they just always just tend to forget about me or throw me at the bottom of the batch. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm just like a has-been, or like my shit ain't, you know, like it can't get like that. So I had to really flex my lyrical muscle in this record to show motherfuckers that I don't give a fuck who coming out on the date that I'm coming on, who out right now, young, old, brand new, it don't matter. When it comes to this rap shit, this is what I was born to do. A lot of times I just make songs because that's the mode I'm in. If I'm doing an R&G record, that's an R&G record. That's basically a rap gangster record, but it's more rhythm and blues orientated. But when I'm doing this Blue Carpet Treatment record, it's me going back to the elements of where I started, which was being a straight MC. And just not really giving a fuck about nothing, but just being the hardest rapper in the world and not trying to make the best songs, but trying to have a lyric that, you know, outstood everybody else. And then through the lyrics, the songs would come together. That's how we did it on the Chronic. You know, when I was working on that record, I was trying to have the dopest lyrics in the world, and I think I did. But Drake knew how to pull it together to make those lyrics become songs. You know, so it wouldn't just be like a battle MC. It was like a motherfucking clever MC on a tight-ass song with a catchy-ass hook. And then, you know, being in the game for so long, you learn that formula. So I sort of kind of learned it from Dre, and then I got my own stigma on how I do mine. And, you know, my shit work like it work. You know, that's why, you know, being away from Dre for 5 years, I never missed a beat. I still won awards, still sold records, still was well-known, and still, you know, publicly accepted. But after getting back with him, I'm hearing that this is my best record that I've ever done.
Ever?
You know, ever. That's what I'm hearing, you know, on the streets, but it's early. You know what I'm saying? I don't pay attention to it too soon because, you know, it's just catching niggas off guard because it's so healthy. It ain't one of them slim records. It's healthy.
Right. I think a difference between this one and, like, a record like Doggy Style is that Doggy Style was, like, 14 tracks, and it was, like, all in the same kind of... It had the same sound. It was, like a book that you were reading. On this one, it's like 21 tracks, it's longer, you have a lot of different styles mixed in it, so you can't really compare it to it.
Yeah, this one was this record, what you think it was? Was it one-dimensional or two-dimensional? What?
No, I mean, to me, it's like, when I listen to it, if I would cut out like three tracks, I would have a personal classic for me. So it's like it might be too long, but like I said, man, I think that you hadn't rapped this good in a long time. That's why I was asking you about the motivation, like that Think About It track. I was like, what kind of drugs did you take when you recorded that shit?
I be saying like nothing don't be getting anymore. Like the need to have mines. I'm not an egotistical motherfucker. I don't sit around pouting and going to award shows when I don't win, being mad, saying fuck them niggas and blah blah this and that. I take my losses and keep it moving, but at the same time, if I'm wrongfully done, I'm gonna have to keep proving myself. And it's like, this ain't the first record where I really got lyrical. I listened to my Dogfather record. I was lyrical on a motherfucker on that album. But nobody focused on it because Dre wasn't a part of it. Suge was in jail and Pac were dead. So it was like, it's timing. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing really going on that's really blinding people right now so they can focus in on what I'm saying. That's why it sounds so fresh and brand new, because it's Snoop Dogg. You understand? The nigga that everybody loved, and he made a record that everybody loving the record now, because I got the songs that's matching the way I'm feeling, as opposed to me making a song about death and hurt and harm. No, I'm making songs about the way I'm feeling as a person. You know, being a leader, being peaceful, positive, educating, being strong-minded, being, you know, a hell of a songwriter that can make songs with the best of artists from old school, new school, hip-hop, R&B, and that's what he's doing.
Okay. And you know, Goldilocks told me that y'all just did a video for Candy. Is that the third single?
That motherfucker's dope as fuck. It ain't no single. I mean, it's just, I had it out there in the air and I wanted to do the video for it because it's a West Coast love thing. You ain't really seen, you know, Northern Southern California come together and really group up. This is the perfect way to do it.
So how's the video? How did it come out?
Dope as fuck.
You got everybody in there?
I got that motherfucker with me right now. It's dope as fuck.
Is that going to be aired on TV? Is it going to be like an official video, or what's that going to end up like?
Yeah, this is an official video. Yeah, that video is a real video, but what's so crazy about it is that shit gonna blow so big to where it might conflict them as far as playing. I know how they be acting like they can't really play too many videos from one nigga at one time, unless his name is motherfucking Great White Hope or King of New York, you understand what I'm saying? other than that, you know what I'm saying, they go hard on a nigga like me, so I gotta try to figure out a way to, you know, get this motherfucker out there.
Hey, what did you think when you heard that beat for the first time? The That's That Shit. What did you think when you heard that beat for the first time?
I knew it was a hit record.
You were like, Nas, give me that shit, huh?
Man, he gave me a fucking hit record off the top. He been giving me hit records. Hold on one second. I need to meet this beautiful girl right here. Hold on one second.
All right, all good. It's all good. You know, I respect that.
I had a blessing with a CD. Now she got my CD, so she's gonna say to herself she should have gave me her number so I could have put some dick in her life, but instead I put some music in her life.
That's That Shit. You heard that? I was like, yeah, I got my drop it like it's hot for this album.
You know what? When I heard it, to me it wasn't really like, you know, like a drop it like it's hot. It was like something completely different. Because it was like a different tone, a different mold, a different view of music. Because it wasn't like on no gangster shit. It was like it had some royal shit. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking to myself, you know, if I am the king, I need a song that's royal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That royal shit. Your royal penis is clean. You know that it's.
The thing about it is like the fellas dig it, the ladies dig it, cause it's mainstream, but at the same time it's so fly.
I try to make that kind of music, man. You know, they say I'm the king of that kind of music. I'm the king of the anthem music. I'm the king of the cool music and the king of the party music. So you gotta try to get you a little bit of that all in one. You know what I'm saying? Cause when I put Bato, I know that threw motherfuckers off a little bit, cause it was hard, but then again, it wasn't like, damn, it's not a song with a real hook on it where we can radio. It's not radio friendly. It's not singing. It's not the fucking Snoop doing. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, I knew what my mission was, to try to bring some peace and some understanding out here. And I wasn't tripping off radio playing the sale. And I knew that once radio got a whiff of it, they wasn't going to really play it because there was a positive movement behind the song. So, you know, the word is out and motherfuckers is moving to the groove. So. I appreciate it, but motherfuckers even give me the opportunity to say that because nobody had the nuts enough to say that. Niggas was acting like it wasn't happening, but now that I spoke on it, you know, we'll go down to history one day and say Snoop Dogg did try to speak up on that negative bullshit that's going on, whether they did something about it or not.